Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm optimistic. Some of our main competitors are trying to keep their key people. We're going to keep all our key people next year. We have a great, again.
We're not changing the change. Yeah. If we can improve ourselves, we're going to improve ourselves. But we love our starting five, okay?
Tony Fertitta taking over the conversation.
Yep.
They didn't change the change, but they did not bring back their guys. Chris Paul,
gone.
Clint Capella, gone. And the owner for the Houston Rockets is under the microscope. He's got a unique style. Is it the wrong style, though? We'll get into that. We'll compare it to some of the other guys and the things they do around here. It is lunchtime here on In the Loop. Tomorrow, come join us for lunch out there in Pearland. Hooters. Hooters, Hooters, Hooters. If you need a note for your boss, just ask me. I got you back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make it happen for you.
I need a note.
I got you. Well, no. Yeah, you kind of need you.
I had somebody text me if you were going to be there. I said, well, maybe eventually, but somebody's got to carry the weight.
We need you there.
Yeah.
I hope they have those Big Daddies. I love those Big Daddy beers. I haven't had a beer in probably like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So I'll definitely get down on that. As you hear the music, get down on it. During the break, man, it's been a rough PR run. For the Houston Astros. It's been really rough.
Rough. That's the word you're using?
You had to fire your manager. You had to fire your general manager. You stole a hashtag that was being used by the XFL. And now all of a sudden there's a giveaway on the Houston Astros Twitter account that I find very interesting. But what was the question that you asked during the break, John? You kind of screamed a little bit to where people walking by were kind of looking like you were yelling at me. I had to tell them that we were not fighting, so...
No, we weren't fighting.
We were not, but you screamed loud enough to where it did come across that way.
All right, I'll just tell you. What the are the Astros doing right now in PR? Seriously, what the are they doing? Because... Okay, you lay it out. This is the brilliance of Astros PR right now. They're going to hate me. I don't care. They're inept at their job. I'm never going to ask for. I don't go to Astros games with my credential anymore. I haven't done that in years. I go as a fan. I buy tickets. I help support.
Oh, I can't wait for the season. 50 days, by the way, till the season starts. I can't wait. And they need baseball more than anybody. You talk about baseball. The Astros need some damn baseball. And there's going to be some must-watch games.
You talk about
for the Houston Astros.
Some of the worst PR disasters.
First of all,
this city has ever seen.
You had the statement with Brandon Taubman. That was a disaster. You had to fire Brandon Taubman because they screwed that up. You had Jeff Luhnow kind of screwing that one up. Mm-hmm. Then you had to fire them. Then you had the hashtag and all these other things. And now, can I interest you in feeling better about all the bad things that have gone
yes,
on?
Yes, you know I need Astros. To feel better.
All right. I hope you're ready because there's a special giveaway courtesy of @Astros on Twitter. This is a special, special giveaway. Are you ready, John?
I guess I'm ready.
Followers who retweet this by 5 p.m., you get a chance to win. Wait for this.
All right.
They come bearing gifts. A hat signed by...
Oh, wow.
General Manager James Click. You can win... An Astros cap signed by James Click if you retweet what the Astros just put out.
All right, what's that worth? What is an Astros autographed James Click hat worth? Why would – look, I get it. You're an Astros fan. Anything Astros, you're going to absorb, right? I'm somewhat hypocritical here because to prove that people – this was about 5 years ago. I wanted to prove that people will take anything that's free. I mean, you got millionaires courtside at the Toyota Center going completely bonkers for a free T-shirt, right? They could buy a million of those T-shirts. So when something's free, people want it, right? And they'll do anything for it, and they'll act the fool. I once gave away a cup of dirt from my yard on the air, and somebody not only asked for it, they came up here and got it. So knowing that people, if it's free, people will do just about anything and they'll take it. This is your big PR move.
A hat signed by James Click.
Right.
Like, we don't know much about James Click.
Would you rather
now,
have
Jeremy Branham acted like he would like followed his whole life yesterday. Like Jeremy Branham acted like
Branham
James
dug deep.
I mean, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there was.
Just to show you the current state in the PR of the Astros, you want me to read some of these comments with the James Click hat?
I didn't do that. Yes, please.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, here we go. If it's not a game-used trash can, I don't care.
Oh, you knew that was coming.
I hope I win. Praying. Hashtag sarcasm. Shocked it's not a trash can, signed by the entire roster. What do we need to do to win an AJ Hinch autographed hat?
Now that is worth something.
I have a Luno signed baseball card. This would go a long way in my Astros GM collection. I threw my Astros hat in the trash can. Bang, bang. I love anytime my Astros post anything. Makes it easy to find the right people to block. Two trash can emojis and a bang bang.
There's a trash can. I guess there is a trash can emoji in there.
Wow. We got Christian Vela on here. Shout out to Vela. He is a loophole. Mm-hmm. This is a real comment. He said, who's here from In the Loop? So I guess there are loopholes now going to this to try to get that. Someone said, this is a joke, right? Can I have one with an AJ Hinch signature?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm right down the street. I can walk over and pick it up. More trash can jokes.
Yeah.
Trash can included? Question mark. I mean, it's a bad time right now.
It's not a good time.
A James Click hat. Like, seriously, man, like, sometimes when you get an autograph,
sometimes it's just very personal.
It decreases the value.
Like maybe
it decreases the value.
Maybe it's a Gerald Green.
I got hundreds of autographs, bro.
Like, you just love Gerald Green.
Some of them you don't even want.
He's a Houston guy.
You don't even want.
It's not even going to be worth that much.
Keep the hat fresh.
But you love him, right?
Keep the hat fresh.
I get that. Who has a deep emotional connection right now? Now, maybe he's going to end up being, I don't know, Al Davis. So, you know, some awesome, legendary.
Who won that autographed GM hat, though?
An autographed GM hat. How many of them are even out there?
Unless they played before or something like that, former player.
I get maybe what he's, but right now, who has like a deep emotional connection to James Click? Other than Jeremy Branham.
Jeremy's an expert on him, dude.
He dug in, man.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I want Jeremy Branham to join us for Cross. I want him to just power rank the top 10 assistant GMs in baseball. Just got to hear it. I've got to hear it from my man, Jeremy. James Click, sign hat. Congratulations to whoever wins that. 713-572-4610 to get in. Tillman Fertitta, the way that he's running the Rockets is getting some criticism. There's talk that he's running it like a restaurant. He's getting below the luxury tax. The bottom line is more important than winning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that I really fault him for that because, quite honestly, I think that I looked at this team before the trade deadline, didn't think they were a champion. And if I was a billionaire, hell, I'm a guy counting down the days till Friday when I get payday, when it's payday and I can pay some bills.
Right.
I ain't got $1 billion. And if I had $1 billion, who the hell am I to say, waste $15, $20 million on a team that's not going to win a championship? So I understand it. I don't think they're necessarily better, but what I do know is this. He is a very hands-on owner. I don't want to call him a meddler, but Tillman Fertitta, he likes the spotlight. He likes to talk. He likes to have a hand in things. And I think it's very, very apparent based on what Daryl Morey's done the last couple of trade deadlines to get below the luxury tax. So he's a meddler. And
Tillman is in it for, obviously, Tillman and being able, he's learned how to make money, and he's made a ton.
And I'm
money.
A Landry's card. I love his
you're
products.
A Landry's card holder.
I love his products.
I love his products as well. And so maybe there's a good chunk of this, which is Tillman being Tillman and making sure the bottom line is right from his perspective. But maybe also, it could be more than one thing. Maybe also, he's kind of the voice of reason in that room. You know, he's like, guys, we're not going to win a championship. You know, you're asking me to go over the luxury tax.
For a lame duck coach,
for
too.
For what? And a lame duck coach.
And you don't know that the next coach is going to want these guys or anything. So I understand that. And, oh, by the way, Daryl Morey probably lost him some money in China. I don't know how much bread it was. You saw some estimates, but Daryl Morey lost him some bread with that China tweet. So Daryl's basically just doing whatever Tillman tells him to. I think it's very obvious. Yeah. And whatever. Good for Daryl, too, for adjusting and doing what his boss tells him to do. But on the other side of things, you've mentioned this. You've talked about Cal McNair, and you've talked about how you want to hear from Cal McNair. You told Cal McNair as much to his face. Like you said that to him. So the way in which Cal McNair runs things compared to Tillman Fertitta, I think a case can be made that the style Cal McNair has might actually be more beneficial for the Texans than the way that Fertitta is running things for the Rockets. We'll lay out both sides of that next. We'll also take some calls, 713-572-4610. Billionaires under a microscope next. All right. Billionaires under a microscope here on In the Loop. So Tillman Fertitta's owner style. How would you, OG, describe the way Tillman Fertitta runs the Rockets a few years into his tenure as owner of the squad?
I think hands-on. Let me see if I can get all my thoughts here collected in one brief moment. Hands-on, like his other businesses, and like an entertainment industry. Nothing wrong with that. Don't take that as a criticism. It's
bottom
his,
line, too.
It's his style, bottom line.
A lot of bottom lining. Yeah. What about Cal McNair?
Hands off. Still learning. I'm trying to think what else. How would you describe just that relationship? Hands off?
Hands off. Mm-hmm. Let's Bill O'Brien do pretty much whatever he wants, I would say, for the most part. He's the GM. He's the coach. He's the only one in the league with that title. I think it's two contrasting styles in regards to Cal McNair and Tillman Fertitta. One guy maybe gives his coach slash GM maybe too much leeway, according to some. And the other guy, Tillman Fertitta, some people would say, Brian Windhorst, Tim McMahon, among many, that maybe there's a little bit too much hands, too many hands in the way, in the direction of Daryl Morey. I don't know which one is preferable. I think the perfect way to do it, in my amateur opinion, would be maybe somewhere in the middle, somewhere in between.
I want an owner that, like, let's look at who's the best owner in town right now. That would be one Jim Crane. And I think he's got a lot of characteristics a lot of the best owners we've had in town have had. Bob McNair, Cal's dad, I thought, you can criticize the product on the field or say you're frustrated that they haven't gotten to where we all want them to go. But Bob McNair was in the background when he needed to be in the background and sure as hell stepped forward when he needed to step forward to talk about stuff. He and Jim Crane shared that. He also hired people and trusted them until he needed to step in. I think Jim Crane is the exact same way.
I think Jim Crane's perfect.
I think he's just about
like, to me, Jim Crane is the perfect owner. So that's why I'm not even throwing him in this discussion.
No, but what I'm saying, Crane, you said, what would we want? I'm thinking somebody like that who's willing to hire the right people, trusts his instincts, lets them do their job. But whenever it's necessary for the guy in charge to either talk, have an interview and or step forward and have a statement of some sort, then he does it.
Have you ever seen the show Wife Swap?
Once or twice.
Do you know the basic concept of the
show?
Yeah,
I'm familiar. I'm familiar.
Basically, the concept is like they take two married couples, and the husbands switch places, and they go with different wives. Mm-hmm. And usually it's not a good mix. Usually when you have that mix, disaster happens. So you have like an extremely conservative wife, and she ends up with like a very, very liberal husband.
Yeah.
And the disasters happen. I think in this instance, with the Rockets and with the Texans, I think if there was a new show, if ABC or who, whatever channel that show is on, mm-hmm. had a new show and it was called Owner Swap.
Owner Swap.
I think that for a guy like a Daryl Morey, who's been innovative, whose record speaks for itself, I think an owner like a Cal McNair could almost be perfect for a guy like a Daryl Morey. Now, on the other hand, I think a coach like Bill O'Brien, who can sit there and try to tell you that he's accomplished a lot of things, but in the big scheme of things, really hasn't taken that next step. And there's been proof that teams in the division the last couple of years have gone further than him, and the division was down when he first won it.
Mm-hmm.
I think an owner like a Tillman Fertitta, who's going to check you and going to call you out and not give you too much leeway,
yeah.
would be perfect for Bill O'Brien. So I think that both of these owners, they have good concepts,
mm-hmm.
but I just think the guys in which they're working with might not be the perfect mix. And if I think that if there was a switch and you had a guy like a Daryl Morey calling the shot for the Houston right. Texans, and there was more of a hands-off approach, I think that you would be positioned for more success. And if you have Bill O'Brien as your coach, that's assuming that Bill O'Brien's your coach,
mm-hmm.
just in this situation, I think Fertitta would be perfect. Let me just give you an example.
Yeah.
Because I went back and I pulled this. And we remember what Cal McNair said when he gave Bill O'Brien the GM title. He talked about winning a playoff game. He talked about a 10-win season. And he talked about winning the division again, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So would you consider that to have been praise?
Yeah.
That was praise, right?
Yeah.
Well, since Tillman Fertitta has owned the Houston Rockets, the Rockets have been the closest and the biggest threat to one of the best teams that we've seen in a long time. They were a game away from making the NBA Finals before mm-hmm. Chris Paul blew out his hammy.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they lost. They came up short against the Golden State Warriors once again. Keep in mind that you just said that was praise
yeah.
from Cal McNair. Here's what Tillman Fertitta said when the Rockets came up short.
And they came to our home court and they kicked our ass, and that's just the way it is. They outscored us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They won, they're the champions, and we lost.
Is it any more painful because it's in your backyard?
Hell yeah, it's more painful. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable.
They beat us by 10 in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable. It's ridiculous. I don't give a damn if it's the Warriors or not. On the no. other hand, you have the Texans losing 51-7,
yep.
and that is being praised. I sit here, and for all the stuff you say about Tillman Fertitta, I think a lot of Texans fans, and I feel like I'm in a good place where I can speak for a lot of Texans fans because mm-hmm. that's something we take a lot of pride in. That's something we put a lot of effort in. I think if a lot of Texans fans would have heard something like this, something like what Tillman Fertitta said after what happened in Kansas City happened to the Texans, if they heard this, I think a lot of Texans fans would feel pretty damn good about the Bill O'Brien situation.
And they came to our home court and they kicked our ass, and that's just the way it is. They outscored us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They won, they're the champions, and we lost.
Is it any more painful because it's in your backyard?
Hell yeah, it's more painful. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable.
I love that correlation there. People were scratching their heads about, wait a minute, you got that scored 51-7 and you gave him the title of general manager. You know, you didn't come in and much less, some people were calling for Bill O'Brien's head. I think in a lot of cases, people say this about children, about preschoolers, like, and hear me out on this.
I'm hearing you.
They'll take as much as you give them, right? They'll take as much rope as you give them. And you always hear, by the way, yes, I'm married to a school director. You always hear that children really,
shout out to Jan,
really want structure in their lives. But if you don't give them that structure, if you don't do those, put those boundaries up, then they'll take as much as you want, as they want. And all that's not that doesn't just necessarily, you know, apply to kids. It's you, me, certainly guys that have power like Bill O'Brien. He's taking right now as much as he wants because they're letting him. All right. Maybe that's their strategy and philosophy, and it's going to produce a Super Bowl. Maybe not. Tillman Fertitta, if Daryl Morey could take more rope, he would. Would you agree with that?
Hell yeah, and I think he's right? earned it. I think he's earned some damn rope.
But Tillman stepped
in. For everything you say about him, he's earned some damn rope.
But Tillman has stepped in and said, no. You know, we're staying under the luxury tax.
Yes.
Because if Maury wanted to, it was up to his devices, and he had more rope, and you gave him more rope, he would be over the luxury
Absolutely.
Tax. Right
he would
now,
trade
right?
two first rounders and a second round pick for Laremy Tunsil.
All right,
and trade third round picks like exactly. they're like they're mints at a restaurant.
So it's not just children. People will take as much as you give them, and that's why the owner has to step in and talk and answer questions and put his foot down, and when the occasion calls for it. Step forward and make a statement with his actions, and that's what Tillman Fertitta has done. By the way, the master of it, bringing it full circle, is Jim Crane.
Look, I think you can, if you're upset and you're right, Jim Crane is the king, but if you're upset with Tillman Fertitta and you feel a certain way, that's fine. That's your right. I can actually understand what he's doing, but I just want to ask you this. This is the question I want to ask you. I want you to role play a little bit. We're getting a little freaky here. Here's a little role play for John Lopez. What would Tillman Fertitta say if he owned the Houston Texans and you were in Kansas City and you went up to Tillman Fertitta and you asked him what he thought about it? What is Tillman Fertitta going to say?
He would say virtually that same audio, except he would replace 10-0 in the fourth quarter with 51-7 after we took a 24-0.
And
lead.
I can guarantee you, I know that Super Bowl or bust can be a little bit unrealistic, and I don't think you can expect that type thing. But I can guarantee you one thing about Tillman Fertitta. He would not sell you on division titles. That would not be mentioned.
100%.
And I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. If his coach went up there and started talking about, I've won this many division titles, I can promise you that cell phone's going to be vibrating in his pocket sooner rather than later.
That's like one of his restaurant general managers or regional restaurant general managers coming up to him and say, you know, we just about hit our quota. We just about hit it. We're right there. You think Tillman's going to say, getting close to your quota is good. Hell no.
You ain't going to say it.
Hell no.
Say it. So it's Hell an interesting no. situation. Different strokes for different folks. The bottom line is the goal remains the same in the eye of the fan base, but sometimes there's just a gray area that billionaires out of our tax bracket have to deal with. And, oh, by the way, Tillman, you're always okay with me because that honey butter and bread at Sawgrass is so damn good. And that homemade ranch dressing perfectly complements my Pat's ribeye.
Real quick, great quote on Twitter from Loophole Joe. Give a mouse a cookie and he'll want a glass of milk. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't just apply to children. It's everyone. They'll take as much as you give them.
The right way to fan, courtesy of Kobe Bryant, and a 2000 sex symbol. We're going to get Clint Sterner in here for this one. We're going to put our street smarts to test, and we're going to put some Baytown street smarts to the test. A 2000 sex symbol says that an NFL star broke up with her a certain way, but I think she's lying. Does Clint Sterner and John Lopez, do they agree with me? We're going to investigate next. Man, the owner swap idea to me is just, it's intriguing. I think Tillman Fertitta overseeing Bill O'Brien would be ideal. Cal McNair letting Daryl Morey do his thing would be ideal. It is ironic, to quote Alanis Morissette. By the way, you know she wrote those songs about Joey from Full House.
Did you know that, none of the things that she said were ironic was actual irony?
Rain on your wedding day.
That's not irony. Good advice.
Free ride, but you already paid.
That's not irony.
Good advice that you just didn't take.
That's not irony.
Turned 28, won the lottery the next day. That's kind of ironic.
No, not really.
No, won the lottery and died the next day. Yeah. Won the lottery and died the next day. That's ironic. A little bit.
It'd be a bit of a reach. But isn't that funny? Not ironic.
A death row pardon 10 minutes too late. Mm-hmm. That's kind of ironic.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're being harsh.
But most of the things she said, if not all, was not actual irony.
But I don't even know what the hell I was saying. What are you,
I threw him for a loop. In the loop.
Figgy, pull Alanis Morissette ironic. He's got me here. And we're going to stop and pause each thing, and we're going to argue if it's ironic. That's kind of the path you got me down now, John. But what was I talking about ironic? Help me out, man.
About Daryl Morey.
I was supposed to interrupt you, dude.
I got to win.
No. Okay. I know where I was going. Alanis Morissette, ironic.
Yeah.
It's ironic that a guy with Daryl Morey's resume has the clamps on him for the most part, where he's got to reach a budget. He can't do whatever the heck he wants. And a guy with that resume, let's be honest, more times than not, that guy can do whatever the F he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that right. More times than not, he can do whatever the F he wants. He's got the clamps on him.
Right.
A guy like Bill O'Brien, who we can go through the resume. I'm not going to exhaust it.
Mm-hmm.
He can basically do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
Okay.
Is it not?
Yeah. It you're more in the neighborhood than Alanis Morissette.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Tillman Fertitta. Let's go back to that audio, Figgy. Tillman Fertitta. This is Tillman Fertitta. Keep in mind, Bill O'Brien got rewarded for not taking the next step. He got rewarded for the second straight year, a team in the division going further than his team did and not taking that next step. And, oh, by the way,
mm-hmm.
being outscored 51-7. 51-7. To have his season ended by the Kansas City Chiefs. 51-7, John. That's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And he got rewarded for that. Here's Tillman Fertitta, and he refused to give Mike D'Antoni even anything. Not even an extra year on his contract, really, without like the buyout stipulations. This is Tillman Fertitta after the Rockets had a meltdown and lost to the Warriors.
And they came to our home court and they kicked our ass, and that's just the way it is. They outscored us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They won, they're the champions, and we lost.
Is it any more painful because it's in your backyard?
Hell yeah, it's more painful. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable.
That is what you want to hear.
That's what you want to hear, but that's not necessarily what you hear. You hear it on one side of town. You don't hear it on the other side of town. I just think it's weird, and I propose the idea of a wife swap type thing where Fertitta oversees Bill O'Brien. Which, my God, could you imagine those meetings? You want to talk about a reality
that
show?
That would be great.
Oh my gosh, Tillman Fertitta and Bill O'Brien going at it, and Cal just sitting back letting Morey do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Cal were running the Rockets right now, the Rockets might have had a championship. Because I think,
you say that, but Leslie Alexander, while he reined him in a little bit, did pretty much let Daryl Morey for a long time do his thing.
Yeah, and he had things heading in the right direction, right? That was where the Chris Paul trade was made, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was where that team, because Fertitta bought it after that,
mm-hmm.
that team that got as close as they did was Leslie Alexander letting Daryl Morey do whatever the heck he wanted. All right, you got this started. You brought this up. Alanis Morissette. By the way, keep in mind, this song is about Joey from Full House. You said that nothing on this is ironic. Let's just go through each thing, and we're going to debate whether it's ironic or not.
I'm telling
you. Be open-minded.
I've thought about this.
Hold on, hold on. All right.
All right.
Hold on. You won the lottery and died the next day. Stop. That's ironic. Winning the lottery, you got to give her that one.
That's not irony.
What?
Here, let me.
That's ironic. He won the lottery and died.
Landry, I'm telling you, that's not irony. She says you won the lottery and died the next day. That's an unfortunate incident. Irony is this. You bought a stock that turned into $1 billion and won the lottery. That's irony. There's a difference.
Right.
Trust me on
713,
this. 713-572. Right? Trust me on this.
4610. Next, Figgy, go ahead.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay.
I don't know what that means.
A black fly in your Chardonnay.
2 minutes too late.
Stop. A death row pardon, 2 minutes too late. That's irony.
A death row pardon after you get exonerated is irony. A death row pardon, 10 minutes too late. Again, what she...
2 minutes.
I've thought about this. I've looked at the lyrics. This is one of my hobbies, you know, grammar and proper English. It's not irony. Irony would be you get a pardon after you're found not guilty. That's irony.
All right, next, Figgy, keep it going.
And isn't it ironic?
Nope, it's not.
I do.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
It's like rain.
Stop.
Rain.
That I'll give you.
Rain when you
rain
go.
Rain on your wedding day is not ironic.
Rain when you go swimming is ironic. Or rain when you're in an outdoor shower probably is irony.
No,
rain on your wedding day is
just
bad luck.
I agree with you on that. We agree on that. That is bad luck, too. I think you're judging the chorus, but there's more depth to it.
No. None of what she says, you could argue easily, none of her ironies are actual ironies.
All right, keep going.
How is that irony? Good advice that you just didn't take. That's not irony.
That's just dumb.
That's just dumb.
That's just being dumb. Yeah. So we can agree on that.
And who would have thought it's bigger?
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Used to play it safe. Was afraid to fly. He packed his suitcase. Kissed his kids goodbye.
What does that mean? See, I'm telling you.
What has that got to do with anything? So he kissed his kids goodbye and thought, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Isn't that supposed to happen?
I don't get that. And by the way, before I'm about to get on a plane, can these jamokes from TSA stop telling me to have a safe flight like I control it? I mean, I'm not flying the damn plane. Go tell that to the pilot. Yeah, go tell that to the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there eating peanuts, okay? Quit telling me that.
No, it's not.
Don't you think? It's like rain.
And we're back to this. Rain on your wedding day is not irony.
All right, there were two ironic parts.
Here's how irony.
The lottery. I think the lottery and the death row are ironic.
No. This is how I really it really resonated to me. I had a professor tell me a long, long time ago. Irony is you just need one spoon. And you got 1,000 forks.
What is That's with fancy irony. Restaurants doing that?
You know?
What is with fancy restaurants doing that? By the way, 2900 says that rain on your wedding day is actually good luck.
It's not irony. It might be good luck.
He says it's actually good luck. I'm assuming that's a guy who maybe has been divorced. What is the right way to accept bad luck, especially when it comes to being a fan? I think Kobe Bryant, this video that came out, with Kobe holding his kid, watching the Eagles, his hometown team, win a Super Bowl. I thought this was extremely cool. We'll get some of these comments in just a second before we bring Hot Fudge in here to put our street smarts to test. But here was Kobe Bryant watching his Philadelphia Eagles win the world championship while he was holding his newborn.
Bring that.
Oh, my God. No.
God, I love this.
No. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Yes, we won the Super Bowl. That's it. Super Bowl. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God.
Don't scare her, babe.
That he seemed more excited about that than when he won championships.
He did.
That's a fan right there.
That was an awesome situation. We got someone else in here. We pride ourselves on having street smarts. I think street smarts are something that I think the station has extreme street smarts. I'm not sure how we would do in like a academic situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. But street smarts.
I'd be in your corner, Landry.
There we go. Me and Clint are the C students of the station.
Gentlemen C's, as they say at Harvard.
But we get those A's when it comes to street smarts. And I just want to throw this story out there, and I just want to get y'all's reaction. So okay. I got Hot Fudge Sterner in here with us. This is courtesy of Jessica Simpson, who, my gosh, she used to be strong as new rope in the early 2000s. Very successful when it comes to clothing. But she threw this story out there. In her new book, she has a new book titled Open Book, in which she told the tale of why Tony Romo broke up with her back in 2009. So she says that Tony found out that Jessica had run into John Mayer at her parents' house, and she didn't tell Romo because she thought he would get mad. However, Tony eventually found out when he saw one of Jessica's emails from John Mayer. This is a quote from Jessica Simpson. Quote, Tony accused me of seeing John behind his back. I hadn't cheated on Tony at all, but I could not lie and say I hadn't even seen him. She said she told Tony nothing happened, but Tony didn't believe her, and he immediately broke up with her and flushed down the 2 years that they'd had together down the toilet. Simpson says that she knew Romo wouldn't blab to the media because it would imply that he wasn't enough for her. And she says eventually Tony soon realized she was telling the truth. And of course, she didn't cheat on him. But she said their breakup was necessary because it had gotten ugly. As for Mayer, Jessica claims the musician made a full court press to put a ring on it. They eventually started dating. She said she didn't cut ties because she said it felt inevitable to be in love with John. So she continued talking to him for months, but she let him down when he tried to put a ring on it. There is no way that her and John Mayer were just exchanging emails and Tony Romo jumped to conclusions. Clint Sterner, help me out here.
Agreed 100%. Agree 100%, man. Look, here's the deal. You know this. Also, and I believe it's in that same book, that when she was married to Nick Lachey, she admits to exchanging, I don't know why,
yes, that's right,
emails with Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville from Jackass.
Yeah. And she never did anything with him either, she cheated emotionally, and she felt like that was worse than cheating sexually or physically. And so the moral of the story is that Jessica Simpson is not to be trusted. If you got any street smarts whatsoever, you can rest assured that she was swapping saliva with John Mayer and Johnny Knoxville and Nick Lachey and Tony Romo multiple times.
She just happened to date Mayer right after.
She wasn't texting the air conditioner dude. You know?
That's right.
She was texting freaking John Mayer, Katy Perry, Jennifer Aniston. Who's on his hit list?
Everybody.
Who's on his hit list? Jessica Simpson, of course. Kim Kardashian. I mean, this is John Mayer. Of course she was doing it. And here's my other point on this. When I saw this, 90, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I was going to say 99. 95% of personal texts between a male and a female that are, quote, just friends, have an ulterior motive. They have,
from one side or another,
a different end game interpretation, at least from one side. Correct?
Yes, and the other side should probably have the common sense to know that, to notice that,
exactly,
to recognize that there's
outside of texting somebody at work, hey, right, are you going to be at the blah blah blah? I need
right,
blah, blah,
right, right.
But if you're texting on personal text with someone of the opposite sex, more than just, you know, cordialities, there's an ulterior motive.
Unless you're just asking a direct question.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, how was your day?
Outside of, hey, can you bring whatever because we're having a barbecue?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Outside of that, it's an ulterior motive.
I mean, look, Jessica Simpson goes out on a limb and says she deleted Knoxville's number multiple times when she was married, and then they continued an email chain. And I guess Nick Lachey maybe saw the email chain at some point in time. The fact that she feels the need to use email instead of text messages and phone calls and things like that tells you that there's something she's hiding.
You want this Mayer hit list real quick?
Yeah, give me the hit list.
All right, Vanessa Carlton. I don't know much about her. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Of course.
Say that name for me. I don't know who that is.
Oh, Rihanna Mitra?
Yeah, her. Melania Vaintrup.
I don't know who she is, but she sure looks good.
Jessica Simpson.
Of course.
Damn, she was brunette when she was with him. Yeah. Cameron Diaz.
Good Lord, I forgot about Cameron Diaz.
Cameron ain't shy now.
Oh, no.
Minka Kelly.
Good Lord.
Jennifer Aniston. Sheena Marie from Vanderpump Rules. Taylor Swift.
Good Lord.
Rashida Jones. Miley Cyrus. Kim Kardashian.
Good Lord.
Rena Hammer, Katy Perry, maybe some more.
I'm a fan of Katy, you guys.
Katy's the best.
When she did,
I saw her
when
at the Super Bowl.
She did College Game Day at Ole Miss that day. I think it was College Game Day when she joined them. She was
bouncing around.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm a Katy
Perry. I saw
Perry
her at the
fan.
Super Bowl up close and personal.
Not a big fan of the music, but the shape for sure.
Yeah, sure.
John Mayer, dude.
Damn.
That thing needs to be bronzed.
John Mayer, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Bronzed.
I said that thing needs to be bronzed.
Well, hey, kudos to Romo, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know the story on Jessica Simpson.
She was way out of his league. I mean, I know Romo.
At the time, she was out of his league, right?
Yeah. He's a lot cooler now in the booth than he was back in the day when I was around him. But kudos to him for just being like, nah, I'm going to cut bait, baby. We can remain friends. We can email if you would like. But
right.
I ain't wasting any more time. I'm not giving you any more of my spotlight. You're not wearing my jersey with the pink numbers in Texas Stadium any longer.
Well, didn't he go to Cabo with her? Wasn't that Jessica Simpson?
Yeah, with Whitten, yeah, with Whitten and Bobby Carver.
Yeah, but the story on Jessica Simpson is, how can I put this delicately? She's hard to quit, if you know what I mean. She's pretty talented.
I would imagine so.
She's supposed to be like real talented.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have to get into that a little off air. That sounds interesting. That's my kind of convo right there. I love details, man.
Clint, did you retweet the Astros for that James Click signed hat?
I have not. Do I need to?
I mean, they're giving away a James Click signed hat at 5 o'clock. If you want it, you just have to retweet
it. I need to retweet that thing, see if I can get it. I'd prefer the Dusty Baker.
Well, I think you should get it and give it to Branham. He's got a little bit of a crush on him.
Branham likes some Click, man. He likes some Click. And he's coming around on Dusty Baker as well. So we're influencing in Branham over this past 3 or 4 days.
Who are you with today? You got JB again?
Yeah, JB's back in again, man. And as you guys know, I'm stoked about this Capella move, man. No disrespect. I love Capella. Wish him the best. But mm-hmm. but the whole run it back and the whole keep doing things as is, knowing that it's not going to work, man. I'm just not a big fan of. So I don't know if this move is going to work. I don't know if this is the answer, if they're done yet, but I sure like taking a different approach when something's grown stale for damn sure.
Yeah. The thing that concerns me about it, I think if we're just talking about like championship and playing your best ball, you know, when the playoffs come around, is if you're going to go small like this, like if you look at all the teams that have played small, and I'm sure that they'll mention the Warriors, you know, the small ball lineup that was so successful. There's a lot of ball movement with small ball.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they're just built to have that much ball movement that you need to be effective with that type of style.
A lot of defense involved with those teams that won with this lineup as well. You look at the Clippers right now are similar, right? As far as not having a big and playing a little different style of ball. Again,
they do have Harrell, though. Harrell's a little bit of a tweener.
6'6", 6'7". I mean, he plays big, though. You're right. I mean, but the deal is there with them is, again, there's a lot of ball movement. There's a lot of creativity on the offensive end. There's a lot of really good defense being played on the opposite end of the floor. And so I don't know that it's going to work, guys.
Yeah.
I know that they've got two guys, ball handlers with the Rockets, that are as good as anybody in the league at getting the ball to the rim. Harden is obviously one of, if not the best shooter in the league. He gets to the free throw line as much. I like the complementary pieces and how they could possibly all come together. I just like that a lot more than sitting steady.
They're going to put themselves in a better position going into the postseason.
Yep.
They can't get over the hump in the postseason. Too many teams are going to have great post-up players that they can't defend. Now, Covington is going to be great on the perimeter. He's going to do his job, his deal against Kawhi, LeBron when he's on the wing. But LeBron is a post-up player. Kawhi can post up. Harrell, you talked about, can post up. The Lakers are huge. So they're going to be put in position, I just don't think, without another big man. And you can talk about Hartenstein all you want. Dude's averaging 5 points and 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
All right. So you're not a post-defending team. And I think the matchup, they're going to flip J-Lo, on
they were going to have those problems.
No, I understand
Capella.
That.
You know what I mean? That's my pushback is they were going to have those problems.
No, what I'm saying,
Capella.
They're going to put themselves in a better position going into the postseason. But what they need to win a championship is still not there.
Yeah.
Did you hear my owner swap theory
I
just
did,
now?
I did, and I saw it on social media crazy.
Hey, I'm telling you, man. If you looked at I think that Tillman Fertitta would be the perfect owner for Bill O'Brien because he would keep him in check. He gets pissed off. You heard him after they blew it to the Warriors, firing him up.
Yeah.
And then I think a guy like Morey, who's been doing it as long as he has, the more hands off, the better. Let him do his thing. I think we should have like an owner swap / wife swap.
Let me know how that works out for you, like, dog.
I'm not going to tell billionaires what to do. I can barely tell my girl what to do. 713-572-4610. That's Clint Sterner. We're going to pass it to him and Jeremy Branham very shortly. It is Well-Spoken Wednesday, so Stanford Route is about to be in the building. The 2020 NFL season is underway. What are his biggest takeaways? We'll discuss next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.